This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Bobby Moore and Sir Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is more than just a podcast. It is season 13. It is episode 25. And I said, actually, this is the last podcast of the year unless we record another podcast before the end of the year. And guess what?
You got fucking shit over it.
We're recording another podcast before the end of the year. Actually, it was John's idea. We're recording this on, what day is it? Friday, the 29th of December.
Oh, yeah, I lost track of what days it is, but yeah.
Yeah, Friday, the 29th of December. After two wins, we won't talk about the loss against Liverpool because it's been three games since we last talked with the Button Monkey. And I'm pretty
it was
sure...
good, by the way. Not so good on fucking question time.
No,
but good in the you know, the general podcast bit.
Yeah, it was nice, man. Yeah.
Doesn't feel like the need to entertain people and be like a fucking.
Funny enough, since I've done that, people were going, he's got a 3XL Christmas jumper. You've got the 2XL. Maybe you should have gone for the 3XL. I think one of those was John. thanks, John. Anyway, your podcast, John. So we've got two games. We're going to avoid talking about the Liverpool because this is a positive podcast. You know, we lost.
Obviously, we're out of
the rugby. We're going to quickly talk about the two games. We beat Manchester United, which I know you were at because I saw you there. We had a beer together and then we beat Arsenal last night, although you were out for a curry. Did you not know there was a game on?
These games get shifted about all the time, don't they? Yeah. You know, I mean, it's the 28th.
Thursday.
It's the 28th. Every year on the 28th, I go on a pub crawl.
We do
the travel car pub crawl. Yeah. We go to Waterloo. We get a slow train back. Yeah. Get off at every stop, have a beer and then have a curry. Then every year.
Yeah, you're always on the 28th. You're right.
I missed it. I knew I was going to miss it. I was out with someone who was an Arsenal fan as well, which was even better.
Yeah, there was a few old jokes. So let's start with you, John, because we want to talk about David Moyes. We want to talk about an exclusive on the finance, because the finance, in 5 minutes' time, exclusively, the embargoed, the finance is going to be released. And also we want to talk about Pakatar and Kudos. I've got some information there, but we've only got about 45 minutes, so we've got a lot to cram in.
Okay.
No dawdling. So let's start with Manchester United and Arsenal.
Okay.
It's all right.
Well, I was on my work still on the Wednesday, so I didn't see the Liverpool game.
Thank God.
What was the score?
Do you know what? I can't remember. 3-1.
5-1, wasn't it? Or something
like
that.
5-1. Was it 5-1? Yeah.
So, let's not dawdle
on that.
So, the Man United game, I was there. We were there. It was an uninspiring 30 first half. It was pretty boring. No team seemed to be at it very well.
Sorry, second half. I just remembered. I'm legally obliged to say, Good evening, John. Where are you and what are you doing?
I wonder what is going so smoothly.
Yeah.
I'm
not worried. I'm at home talking to you. So.
Okay. And just quickly, Len, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at home talking to you.
There you go. Sorry. I'm just legally obliged to do that. Just break up the flow. Carry on, John.
So, yeah. So, first half, I think this is, everyone knows that. I mean, the first half was pretty dull. No team seemed at it greatly. Second half didn't come out much better, but we sort of picked it up. I think we had a reaction.
Problems, didn't you? You love those early kickoffs on a Sunday, John.
Oh, that's just, yeah, the half 12 kickoff. But anyway, and that's the other thing. They complain about the atmosphere. Well, stop scheduling games at half 12.
Well,
and
done.
2 o'clock.
You had a broken rail, and I think you really made an effort. And
I did.
What time did you get home? I bet you were half cut. I left a bit early because I was meeting the family in South Bank. But you,
We stayed on
for about 9 o'clock at night at Waterloo, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I didn't get home till about half 10, 11. So, back to the game. Zuma cleared one, heading for the goal, and that seemed to spark us into life, and then the rest is history. I think Pakatar came alive. He didn't have much to do up until then, but his through ball was sublime. He didn't get an assist for that, did he? Which is mental.
Yeah.
And Bowen's finish was good, second time around. And then Kudus just does what he does, and it's unbelievable when he gets the ball.
Sitting on that. I was ashamed that he didn't get to sit on the advertising board of the Emirates last night. It got so close, but obviously the ball felt super.
And we all come out of there full of the Christmas joys.
We did, didn't we? And we went to the little...
It's good result.
Where did we meet you?
Oh, no, I don't know what it's called. It's like a little cafe.
View Cafe on Greenway.
Yeah.
But Len would call the sewer bank, apparently.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we went to the Spoons in Canary Wharf.
Always a hit.
But yeah, no, it was a good day. Enjoyed the game. Good to see everyone. Happy Christmas.
Yeah. And...
I couldn't go.
I know. We'll come to you in a minute. Might as well just do the Arsenal game while it's fresh in your mind, because you were out. So I think you've literally just watched the replay, haven't you?
I watched it, yeah. I got up this morning and
I tell you
sat
what,
through the whole game.
Did you watch the whole game or just
I did watch the whole game.
Well, do you know what? At least knowing the result, that last 20 minutes was a hard watch. You're probably all right, knowing the result. Yeah,
no, yeah, absolutely.
And no qualms at all. You didn't have to hide behind a cushion.
I actually walked in last night. I turned it on, and it was like 92 minutes. So I saw the penalty as well, which brought a smile to my face. But then disappointingly missed.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Again, I mean, it's an incredible performance all round. Just really good.
Yeah.
You know.
Lenny boy, you couldn't make the last game of home game of the season.
No, too poorly still.
We missed you. We had a good,
We
had a good little jolly. Mostly at
some of us, some of us in a far tighter fitting jumper than others.
Yes, that's true. I, as normal, I peaked too early. But yeah, what's new? Did you watch both games, I assume?
Yeah.
Well done.
The Man United game was a bit empty, wasn't it? Do you know what I mean? As in, like, nothing happened.
Yeah.
70
first
minutes.
Half, yeah.
And 20 minutes of the second. Yeah. More of that to come, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. and then the last night. Do you know what? I don't mind the prime coverage. I know you turned off the commentator, which I didn't. But I had to turn it back on because I do like the prime coverage.
I do, actually.
I watched the whole build-up with Moyes coming out at the beginning and he talks to them and, you know, explained about what the problem with Zuma was and he talked about the...
So what was the problem with Zuma? I didn't see all that.
That's what
He rocked his knee a little bit and he failed a late fitness test, but he's due to be back for Brighton. And then, obviously, they he explained that Agüero was still out because of the illness, still recovering from the illness. And then, of course, we had the Pakatar incident in the warm-up, covered that, and, you know, and then he started and got pulled off after 30 minutes. It had all the drama, You know, we think, oh, yeah, and lots of people. I mean, our American friend on a WhatsApp group that John and I are in went, oh, this is going to be a bloodbath. How can a 35-year-old be in the centre of defence? This will be carnage. They're going to rip our defence apart. That aged well, John.
Well, yeah. Well, if they could finish...
Oh, Bonner was the man of the match.
They were good. They were good. Anyway,
77 touches, Len, in the Arsenal in the West Ham box at the Emirates.
Yeah. Yeah.
A world record in the Premier League.
Is it really?
It is. Yeah. Since records began, 77 touches.
Yeah.
Without scoring a goal is a record.
Well,
they just couldn't finish, could they? We did ride out like a little bit.
Put that on his ball, didn't he?
Well, he argued, funny enough, on...
I can see it now, at the end of his next contract. Noah's gone to the Emirates and had 77 touches in the opposition area.
He talked about how important it was to defend, and they said, well done, this is your first time in 23 attempts that you've won at the Emirates or away to Arsenal. I can't remember which. And he said, oh, I did once before, and was talking about his personal chip, and they went, oh, no, it was a draw.
Yeah.
We have to check that.
Just goes to show it must have felt like a win to him.
And he said that was close.
He remembers
then.
It.
Yeah.
He even remembers the fucking draw. Snow,
yeah.
The goal scores and everything. That result meant such a lot to him.
But look, he did look delighted. And let's be honest, right? Did we think we were going to get anything out of that game? No. When we saw that we lost our playmaker and our two centre defenders, we did think, right, that we were going to be in a bit of trouble.
If your
two centre-halves are out, you would.
And do you know what?
That was the biggest concern.
Oh, yeah. We all know Arsenal fans, and they were getting more and more grumpy. The VAR thing was hilarious. I mean, them all arguing again. Well, this morning you've got Arsenal fans arguing with the line straight. It was your fucking groundsman that drew the line, right? On the pitch, right? The line's not straight. Look, the on-pitch decision was goal. The whole reason VAR is to say if there was a clear and obvious error, they would overrule it. Gerard Bowen's leg was in the way, right? So the only angle... You can't tell one way or the other, so the goal stands. Shut up, Gooners. Shut up.
I haven't seen much of their reaction things.
Oh,
have
they've
you?
Been melting down on social media.
I have. I've been watching them.
You have to post some of it.
You not see the video of the girl who started fake crying and going...
Well, yeah, you sent that.
Yeah. That's gone everywhere.
A team that sings about bubbles.
How have we lost against a team that sings about bubbles?
Oh, dear.
Fuck off.
Ooh.
Top six... As I said to Paul Ross last week on Talk Sport, top set. We're going to finish.
We'll
I can't wait to
the
get the trophy for that.
Yeah, top. We're going to finish seventh, and we're going to qualify for Europe for a fourth year running.
We're not going to win the League Cup, though, are we?
We're not going to win the League Cup. I thought we weren't going to mention that.
No,
the elephant in the room. We've got over Liverpool. Right. Here's the thing. Right. I was speaking to someone earlier. I'm just going to mention it, and then we'll move on. Right, John. 6,000 people go, you've got to remember the 6,000 people that went to there. Buyer beware, right? We've won in Anfield away twice in 100 years. David Moyes has not won.
Never won.
In 55 visits or never won, right?
Mm,
yeah. Buyer beware, you knew what you're getting yourself into, your 6,000 people travelling to Liverpool, right? Did you think we were going to win it? No, you didn't, right?
Possibly when you saw their team.
Hang on. You bought the ticket way advance the time knowing these two stats exist. We never win at Anfield and Moyes has never won at Anfield. So don't then say, oh, well, it... And as I've said on the TalkSport, right? It doesn't matter whether we lost 5-1 or 1-0. We're out. Goal difference doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter about the manner we lost it. We're out, right?
But it was their B team. It was a quarter final of a cup,
was very good, John.
It was a quarter final of a cup that we are supposedly all about cups now.
Yeah.
We're not worried about the league position greatly. We're not going to get relegated.
We're going to win the league and we're going to get in the Champions
League. We're going to win the cup. We've never won the League Cup as a club. So, you know. It was an opportunity. If he'd have played his first team, we could have beaten their B team.
Anyway.
So the 6,000 might have had a little complaint about that.
Back to the game. We won against Arsenal with a good goal by Souček, whipped in by Bowen's thigh, and obviously a James Ward-Prowse corner to the head of Dinos for his first Premier League goal. And
very apt against Arsenal, isn't it?
Yeah, former Gooner himself, of course, as people like to point out.
And he looked decent.
What did you make of it, Len? Were you running around Emirates?
My willy hanging out.
I didn't know where I was going with that one. Yeah.
Not in this weather, I weren't.
Yeah. Come on, you must have shouted and when we got the goal.
Oh, the fucking second one, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, we played, there's no doubt about it, we played really well.
Yeah.
Obviously, you couldn't watch it, you know, you watch it sort of behind a cushion. The problem I have with Moyes' ball is that it relies on players to be at the top of their game every time. And they can't do that every time, but when they can do it, it works. And then, without jumping the gun, you know, you get a couple of good results playing it, and then everyone wants him to sign a new contract without any of the thought of the long-term approach of the club, which is really should be addressed, well, should have been addressed at the moment that your two mates arrived, Sean. One of us is no longer with us. But this is what you get with Moyes, but when they're all on it, the players play well. Everyone talks about the manager. And the players really, really played well. And I think last night should be about them. Players are coming in there in the position. I mean, Ogbonna, right? You know, he's been out for I don't know how long. Everyone wrote him off. Let's be honest, we didn't really want to see him on the team sheet. You don't want a man of his age going to playing against Arsenal in the Emirates because you know what he's going to go up against. Man, he rolled back the years. He was fantastic.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't think he was quite my man in the match. He was, but I think Alvarez was mine because of, you know, he went to the place, went to the home of the guy that he replaced, and he outplayed him. And that takes some doing. He was my man in the match, but it was great result last night.
It was, wasn't it?
Really great result. You're being a top team there, with not your top players, and they did it, and I'm less ashamed of them rather than proud of them. Less ashamed of them. No, I'm proud of them. They've done well. It was good. Don't know what you're going to get against Brighton.
No.
We'll see.
Well, we'll see. So little bit of team news. So Pakatar got a calf injury. He's taken social media and said, small calf injury, I'll only be out of a week. So that counts him out of Brighton.
Expert, is he?
Obviously. Zuma, I'm told, will be back. Agur is supposed to be off to the African nations, as is Kudos. I've been told, so the Ghanaian team meets on the 2nd in South Africa for their training camp. There is this rumour, and I think the Standard ran it, that Premier teams are going to have a dispensation to have an extra day that their players. But you know, I asked the club, they're being a bit coy about it and saying, well, we haven't announced that. But I've been told by my insiders, it's very unlikely either will play for the Brighton match. So both are likely to be missing. Pakatar will be missing. But Zuma should be back. And obviously we're going to miss them. I mean, I don't know how long Ghana are going to stay in the African Nations Cup. But let's talk about the reason we're here today, John. And that is the news. David Moyes was asked about his contract position last night. And he said, look, we're not talking about it yet. We're about to talk about it. And we're about to sit down and talk about it. And then asked, you know, would he be around next week, next season? He said, you know, I don't see it being a problem. Obviously, lots of people trying to read into that. I asked this morning a senior source, not the usual senior source, who'd actually sat down with David Moyes and asked him about his future and his plans, etc., and absolutely sees West Ham unfinished project, that he wants to stay, he's loving it, he's loving what he's achieved here, and doesn't want to give up anytime soon. Then I asked the normal senior source this afternoon, who said that before it was, we're going to sit down and find out whichever one wants by the end of the season, right? So obviously before May. That's now changed to January, that we're going to sit down in January and agree a deal. Now, Jack Rosser of, in the meantime, you know, Perfect Storm, is talking about a 2.5 year extension. I have not heard that.
But who's Jack Rosser?
Jack Rosser used to be at the Standard, now at the Sun.
So why was there a previous leak to Sullivan's favourite journalist about he's not going to get a new contract?
Well, I think that it was a wait and see. It was a kind of thing.
Oh,
of,
it was very clear.
Well, he's all right, yeah, it was. It is, I'm not making a decision this year, 2023. Right, that was the message coming out. We're not going to make a decision. We want to see how it goes in the. This was before we qualify for our group. We want to see how we go in Europa League. We want to see how the league's gone. Well, it's the end of 2023. We're sixth place. In 1 month, we've beat Spurs, Wolves, Arsenal, and Man United.
It lost 5-0 to Fulham and lost 5-1 to Liverpool. People forget.
Yeah, maybe he gets the Premier League Manager of the Month for December. Who knows? He's our most successful manager in West Ham history.
Of course he's fucking not.
You know, and look, I've been as guilty as being a flip-flop fan on this, and doing polls, etc. But you know what? In the coldness of light and after a 2-0 win against Arsenal, you think, do you know what? It's not the end of the world if he gets an extension. I'm sure that won't make a lot of people happy. Remember, he hasn't signed one yet. This is them sitting down to do the details.
So you're essentially announcing that Moyes is going to get off the new contract, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I basically am. That is what I'm announcing.
That's the announcement of the podcast.
That's the announcement of the podcast. I mean, it's interesting. Although, in some ways, the January bit I thought was a bit of an exclusive. It's not as exclusive as I might have thought, because actually Moyes himself, and it shows I don't read the Sun, but when I got told this by the senior source in January, apparently yesterday he told a Sun journalist, this is what he's quoted, David Sullivan said we would talk around the end of January, so we would probably talk later that month. So end of January is what David Moyes said to a journalist yesterday. My senior source said, yeah, we're going to sit down in January. So those two things match up. I know.
What is there to discuss, do you reckon?
Sky and I are reporting he's agreed a 2-year extension. Do you know what? Money, bonuses, KPIs. And the length of the
structure as well, I would imagine.
Who's in charge?
Remind the listeners what a KPI is, please. Not for me, you understand.
All right, so for everyone else, a KPI is a key performance indicator. Now,
fucking hell, that'll be interesting. No wonder you have to sit down and negotiate.
Now, in German football, Stuyden's been used to structuring deals, particularly for managers that have very strong KPIs. One, for a structure for bonuses and money, but two, if you don't reach set KPIs.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's often a lot cheaper to get rid of managers that are not hitting right. certain KPIs. Now, if Steiner's going to play a role in this, that's his role to
right.
to help with maybe the contract.
So Moyes has to essentially agree to work with Steiner in a contract form.
Well, I think well. He is, and you know, as our friend the Button Monkey last week says, you know, Steiner and Moyes meets at the warm-up and he talks to the players, he talks to the manager before every game. I don't know what they're talking about. They might be talking about weather, but they might be talking about tactics. They might be talking about players. So it shows there is some kind of relationship, whether it's a working relationship, whether it's a gritted teeth relationship, we don't know. But it's not the kind of, you know, they don't talk to each other kind of relationship. It looks on the outside like a healthy work relationship.
Well, I mean, let's face it, if Stuyton is responsible for two or three of these signings this summer, then Moyes has got to keep running with him because he's getting all the plaudits for it. You know, I mean, the way they spoke to him after the game yesterday, he was unbelievably good at finding players. And they talked to him about kudos.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he wants to take the plaudits, he's got to play the game, hasn't he?
What's the state of Stuyden's contract, Sean?
It's a good question, which I've not really asked.
You fucking will, sure, because it means more to me than Moyes.
Well, that's a really good point. So why don't I ask that question?
How can he mean mean more to you than Moyes, who's the best manager we've ever had?
Well, he's.
How can
he
that
play
be?
Great in midfield against Man United as well, if you read Twitter. It was a great ball he put it through.
It was a great tactical switch.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
He put Brazil's playmaker into the middle.
Yeah. So before we move on to finals.
Brazil's number 10. He played him as number 10. Would you believe it?
I know, and it worked.
Yeah. Genius.
Before we
give him another 4 years.
Before we move on to finances, what is your gut feeling on this news about Moyes? Let's start with you, John.
I you can't argue the stats. You can't argue the position we are in the league. You can't argue against the wins. But it doesn't mean you have to forget the Liverpools, the Fulhams and the general state of play after time, you know. So I can accept, if he gets a new contract, I can accept it. Ideally, I wouldn't want it. Ideally, I would like to see us be, you know, we've got a very good group of players. I'd like to see us make a forward step and try and attract someone who could maybe progress the club a bit in a different manner. But if that's, you know, if you're a businessman, you can't argue against what he's producing, what he's doing. Whether you enjoy watching it, it wouldn't matter to you, would it? He's getting the job done. He's got a six. He's got the maximum points we've ever had. But ideally, I would like to see an amicable change and a different. But it's not gonna blow my mind. It's not gonna destroy me if he stays. Like probably, I can imagine it will some people. But yeah. You know, it's looking pretty likely and looking pretty obvious that he's going to end up staying in it. So.
Yeah, it does.
I think what the Moyes supporters of Moyes and Moyes fans cling on to and enjoy best is his European qualification record. That obviously they fancy another year.
Yeah.
Looking how the table is now, which means obviously the ones that go out on the European day out or weekend away or whatever, you know, to enjoy it, they're going to love that. But it's more football that for a manager that kind of reduced, he kind of feels like he doesn't want to play football. And although you can understand that a new contract with Moyes is kind of he is worthy of it. He does deserve it. It don't feel like good news to me, because, you know, it's just a lot of...
Well, it's the way
you don't enjoy football as much as they used to.
Yeah, and the fact that he complains about the amount of games and the way that he plays the same players week in, week out, and doesn't rotate the squad, pretty much doesn't use substitutes. It's the way he overlooks the Cup youth winning team for any inspiration, which we're constantly told that Kevin Keane's complaining about, you know. It's just those are what that's kind of things that I would like to see a progression in. I would like to see him utilise two or three of these youngsters out of that Cup winning team, bring them into the squad. Even now, when this African Nations Cup is starting, maybe give them, use this as an opportunity. But he doesn't seem to do that. He doesn't look that way. He'll always flog the same players week in.
Do you think you've just accepted people like yourselves? I'm not saying you're Moyes out, have accepted the inevitable that you have no control whether he gets a...
No, we always knew that. It was never a... It's a question that keeps getting put to us for the sake of content.
Content,
but
we always know
that it's not our choice, and we got an idiot in charge of the club. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, we can't, you know, we can't affect it, so...
It feels like things are... The finger is pointed at us. In the media, I mean, if you look at TalkSport, it's like, what have West Ham fans against David Moyes? What do you think? You know, what do you expect?
The media cycle is continuously. What's wrong with the West Ham fans? Look what he's achieved, how great he is.
Yeah, well, maybe that we don't really hang on to the achievements. Maybe the manager isn't always that responsible for it. And I'm sick of fucking Nigel's dude does this. Wants to fucking art back to John Lyle, you know, getting relegated twice and that, and comparing it to him. We never brought the manager into play in them days. We didn't put all the success down to the manager. We didn't. And I don't know why it gets done now. So, I mean, I suppose it is what it is. I mean, I don't enjoy the football as much as I do, but then again, I don't enjoy going to that stadium, really. I do think he deserves a new contract. You knew what you were going to get with Moyes, and you got it.
And he's achieved it. He's done it.
Yeah, he has done it. And not a lot of managers do go out and achieve what they're asked to do, but he certainly has.
I would just like him. I'd like him now just to start bringing in some youngsters and trying to, you know, utilise that, because that seems to me is a wasted opportunity there as well.
Sure.
But, hey.
If it happens, of course. I mean, you know, it's not confirmed.
Well, Sean's saying it's happening. That's the whole point of this point.
Yeah.
It's the announcement.
Yeah, yeah. It's happening. Well, that and the financial figures.
You usually say nothing's certain until the contract's signed.
Well, you're right. But look, I'm told Moyes is desperate to stay, wants to finish, sees this as his swan song.
I wonder why
his crowning glory. And I think the board, well, certainly when I spoke to two members of the board this morning, both of them were pretty happy, you know? They were pretty happy.
Yeah.
Well,
whoever they may be. Anyway, today is a momentous day in the year, which I get excited about when West Ham release their financial...
That's all we're going on, Sean, isn't it? You're loving it, isn't
it? It is. Financial figures. And it's, you know, it's just between this and me going to the West End to watch Mrs. Doubtfire with the family in about 15 minutes. So West Ham, a few minutes ago, have released their figures. I must say it's for last season, so the end of May. Turnover was down 16 million to 237 million. Previously, it was 253. That 16 million is purely down to our final league position, because we finished 14th last season instead of 7th before, and it's basically £2 million a place. That, and we had 21 games on the box in the UK compared to 23. Again, you get another million every time you're on TV in the UK. The main reason we made a loss of 18 million is we spent 184 million on the playing squad in the summer of 2022. That turns into basically depreciation. of 65.3 million. So that's splitting the contract over. It was 45 million each summer. So although we made a profit, and we'll talk about it in a minute, we made a loss before tax of 18.3 million. Ticket revenue was 41 million, 300,000 lower because of our European Cup run. But again, tickets were slightly cheaper and less crowds for the Europa League than it was for the, sorry, Europa Conference League than it was for Europa League. Commercial revenue and sponsorship grew slightly, 400 grand to 35.1, mostly static. Retail club store fell slightly to 12.9 million. TV income was the biggest drop. We made 147.6 million, down from 163 million the year before. So there's your 16 million drop. Wages up 1 million, 136 million point eight, up from 135.7 the previous season. West Ham's vice chairman Karen Brady pay packet drops from 2.24 million to 1.37 million.
How will she survive?
Mostly because
Brady
she
out.
Mostly because the year before she got a bonus, actually
for fucking doing nothing. Probably.
For finding 900 grand bonus for finding Daniel Kradinsky. But she goes basically in real terms, her salary's not gone up for 3 years. Bless her. In real terms, it's on the same thing. West Ham operating costs were 190 million points, six. That's how much they spent on revenue, as I said before, 236 million. So that left an operating profit of 48.4 million. But transfer payments added 65, which is how you get your 18 million loss. No interest. This is the important bit, John. No interest was paid to any directors, and there are no loans owed to any directors whatsoever. There are no director loans.
I thought they cleared all the loans, didn't they, when Kratinsky came in.
But that was confirmed in these accounts. Right. West Ham paid off their debt to MS Holdings. £55 million loan was paid back to MSD Holdings, ultimately owned by Michael Dell of Computer Fame. But we've opened a new £40 million overdraft with Barclays Bank. Yeah, we had
to
pay
the thieving circus, that bit, isn't it?
We had to pay off Michael Dell's company's 945,000 in interest last August.
But they just call them Peter and Paul, Sean.
Well, do you know what? You pay Michael Dell's Holdings, his specialist company, a lot more than you do the High Street Bank. So it's a it's a sign of the times. We did have a £55 million loan. We now have a £40 million overdraft. It's a move in the right direction.
Yeah, and we used to have the loan by Golden Sullivan at 7%. It went down to 3.5%.
Yeah, no, it's
but the debt has to be moved by the time we moved.
But the debt has, by the time we moved. We've got an overdraft. It doesn't mean we're using the overdraft, by the way. The overdraft is exactly that. At the moment, we haven't drawn down on it. That overdraft is there for cash flow for
Right, we must be doing better this year because we'll seem to be on the telly every week.
Well, let me talk about that in a minute. West Ham did pay off 4.7 million. Where was it? Oh, no. This is the interesting bit. So, last summer...
Really?
Is this the interesting bit? No, it is.
This is the interesting
bit. This is
sorry,
the interesting bit. Yeah, so interesting. Everybody thought we made a net profit of 17 million after we sold Declan Rice. But in fact, we made... It was a net spend of 4.7 million. So we spent 4.7 million than the money we received for Declan Rice, Vlasic, and Scamacca. So some of those.
Is that because we only got a part payment of it?
No. This is all. You put all the money together.
£105 million.
The five is an extra add on. So it would be £100 million, whatever we got for Vlasic, whatever we got for. But anyway, we didn't underspend, we overspent by 4.7 million. Plus, there's another 12.6 million that is contingent on future events, i.e. add-ons.
Add-ons, yeah.
So 4.7 net fees, 12.7 in add-ons. The club paid out a delayed loan fee of 431,000 to Spartak Moscow for the loan of Alex Kroll. Interest of 21,000 was also paid on top. The payment had been forbidden because of sanctions, but FIFA, because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but FIFA said it was okay because the club was owned by someone else that wasn't Russian, so we paid our money. Now, this is the last bit, if you're still with us.
Yeah.
Right?
Sort of.
And it's about FFP.
I was feeling all right till this bit.
So, if you remember, our turnover last season was 237 million, right? FIFA allow 80% of your turnover for wages, transfers and agent fees the following season. So that translates roughly to 189 million. Well, if you look at our wage bill, 137 million, you look at our transfer and wage bill, 65, we're already exceeded it at 202 million. Now we can then exclude non-playing staff. Yeah, so wages of staff, infrastructure, community products, the academy, women's football. But I'm told when, and those figures aren't public, but I'm told that when we take those off, we're right bang on within the budget. So ultimately, we've got no money to spend in January. We've got to sell to buy for January. And that is your 10-minute update on finances. I will go more depth. I'm sure we'll have Kieran Maguire on to talk about this in more depth. And we'll do a podcast just on finances. But that's your 10-minute update. How excited are you, boys, about the finance update?
Not at all.
No.
I still don't really understand how the FFP works when you see the money quota for players that we get, and the money the prices we pay, that they don't match up to sort of give you a clear indication of how much you've got to spend. Well, that makes sense.
You've got to take so when you buy a player, you
I know you're going to say about
them over 5 years, yeah, or the length of their contract, but mostly 5 years. So you take a Declan Rice.
But that's the same with everyone.
It is the same with
everyone. So that would be the same with Estelle.
In the past, you could do it both ways. You could have a contract for 6 years, but write over three, or you could have a contract for three, but no, you couldn't write over longer. But you know, there were ways to massage the books. UEFA and FIFA and the FA are trying to pull that out, so you only can write off the sums as assets over the course of a contract. But forget about how much we spend each summer. Our fee in the books is 65 million. That's what. So this season or last season, 65 million. That's what we're apportioned the transfer fees to, and that's what in our books we're paying out.
Right.
Each year before it was 45. That keeps on 48. It keeps on going up, keeps on going up. So every year, whatever money you make, you then take that transfer installment kitty off, which at the moment is costing us 60. This is what we've already paid, 65 million a year in payments. Now, as we pay them off, obviously that will drop again. But at the moment, we're buy. It's going up and up and up. So although we made £48 million profit,
yeah, we
wiped
it
out
buy,
and
buy,
made
buy.
An £18 million loss. And if we keep on spending the way we do...
Can you imagine spending the way we do?
But, you know, most people don't want to know this and going, bloated bollocks. Show us the money. Show us the money. We want
£100 million. Look, we'll be all right next summer, because when we sell Pakatar, Kudus and Boeing, we'll make an absolute fortune. So yeah, we'll be all right.
True. Anyway,
so how does that? Okay, I ain't got too much of a problem with having to sell to spend in January, because there's players that need to go that ain't going to get a game anyway.
Yeah,
and the sooner you sell them, the better. So when it comes to the summer again and the transfer kitty, how does that work? How do we know how much we got then?
Well, I mean, I'm sure we budget a certain amount, but it's the same thing. We've got to stay in with FFP, so we look at how much we're writing off, and we try and balance the books in wages and everything else. But are we going to have a big spend like we did in 2022? Unlikely. Not until we flushed it through the system. And when I say flushed it through the system, both the Premier League and UEFA, it's a 3-year rolling.
So we had a better spend this summer, didn't we? Let's face it.
Well, Well, only because we got more in, and as we just talked about, our net spend was 4.7 million, though, John. So actually, it's fine to do a net spend of 4.7 million. That's great. You know, you're balancing your books. The previous year, we spent 189 million.
Yeah, he's nearly spent half a billion, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, if you're selling it, and you're right, in some ways,
only trust
sell
11 players
for 100 million each. You balance the books and you go again, and that's where Steiden may come in. Let's be honest, we're not going to keep probably Pakatoris or Kudos for the whole of their careers, are we?
No.
No.
We're going to cash in. And that's what Steiden's job is, let's be honest.
Find the new...
Find the new next ones. One.
Yeah.
Anywho...
Which should be... That sounds a lot more important than setting the team up, if you ask me.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, he's done great.
That's the point I'd like to make.
The figures, I think, are great. You know, yes, we made a loss, but it's understandable because we're paying for what we did in 2022, the summer, which you could say a lot of money was spent and wasted there, you know, with Scamacca, and I'm trying to think who else we bought that didn't really work out. You know...
Well, let's hope in the new year we talk about, you know, players' abilities and performances rather than players' costs. And
we're going to win the Europa League, aren't we? So that'll bring a load of money in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he should get an extension on his contract unless he does. David Moyes. It's all down to David Moyes, whatever you say.
Moyes in.
It's definitely all down to him. It actually... I've heard that the engraver, if we do win it, is going to put David Moyes' name on it rather than West Ham United if we win the cup.
Well, the whole of the media will say it's his cup anyway.
Oh, yeah. After the contract, they say, does David Moyes deserve a statue? And it will be until we continuously say no and, you know, give up, move out of the David Moyes arena, then the... They won't give up. One day it will be down to the fans. It will be our fault.
Yeah. Fans out.
Anyway, anywho, that's all the time we have because I've got a date with Mrs. Doubtfire in Shaftesbury Avenue.
He's done a lot worse.
He has.
I think we've done predictions for Brighton, haven't we?
I can't remember.
I'm
but
sure.
Yeah, let's say we have.
I've been Sean. John has been
over the moon with all the latest news. Over the moon.
And Len has been.
Oh, I'm at a gutful. I'm sick of it.
Come on, you irons. Oh, by the way, you know, you guys never said Happy New Year and everything. So Happy New Year, listeners.
Happy New Year. I was kind of going there.
Thanks for everything you do by listening to us. Going on week after week in 2023, and here's to 2024.
Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast. Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itsinas.
Kayla Itsinas. I'm Kayla Itsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.